Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, Balancing Business and Mental Well-Being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hello, my name is David Creel, known as the Blind Spot Coach. And what I do for people is I help people see things they can't see. And I help people gain clarity and take action in a way they maybe can't see or haven't noticed before in their lives.
Okay. How did you get started doing that?
I was on a webinar back in January of 2020, and they were introducing a Zig Ziglar coaching certification program on that webinar. And on that webinar, 5 minutes into the webinar, I realized what I'd been doing my whole life was coaching people. I just didn't know what it was called. So that's how I got here.
Okay. So it was your first part with your clients. What is kind of like the first steps that you start to do with them?
Well, the first step is there's two things you really need to know. Number one, you need to know where you currently are. Generally, I take a whole life approach. So we talk about the mental aspect, the spiritual, the physical aspect, the family, the financial, the personal, and career. And once you get clear on where you are, then people focus on where they want to be. But a lot of people focus on where they want to be, and they don't know where they currently are, which is a challenge. For example, let's say you live in Nebraska, okay? And I live in Texas. Well, for me to get to you, I need to go north. But if I don't know I'm in Texas and I'm in North Dakota, I could get to Nebraska going north, but it'd be a whole lot easier if I went south. Mm-hmm. So that's why we got to get clear first on where you currently are. Then once we get clear on that, then we talk about where you want to go. And once we get clear on where you want to go with your plan and your life, my job is to come along like a guide and help you get that, what you say you want. So think of it like, have you ever seen any of the Hunger Games movies?
Mm-mm. Nope, I'm not a big movie person.
Have you ever seen any movie where there's a hero?
Yeah.
Okay, so the hero can't become the hero until they meet a guide that shows them, go this way, don't go this way, go on this path, don't go on this path. And that's kind of what I do. Once we get clear on what the path looks like, it's okay, let's make sure you stay on this path for what you say you want. That's the first step. Well, the first step is we got to have a conversation, see if there's a connection there in any way, shape, or form. Then it's, We go through an exercise where we get clear on where you currently are and then where you want to be. And then I'm of the opinion that someone with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an opinion. Mm-hmm. And I give people an experience of what a conversation would look like. And then we determine some people want to proceed after that and some people don't. That's kind of how it'd be laid out.
So you make sure that the goals or where they want to be is realistic. Because I've had people tell me, oh, I want to make $1 million this year. And I'm like, how much are you making? $1,000 a month? I'm not quite sure that's realistic for you.
your current
situation. Like, maybe if you bump that out a couple years, sure, but like, not from where you're at.
Yeah, for example, that's a great example, because whenever we're talking about where you want to be, like say a year from now, what I tell people is it needs to be 50% believable or 50% not believable. And you just had a great example, because people like money and people know how to count and numbers. But let's say you're making $50,000 a month, a year. Okay, I'm just making this up. And you say a year from now, you want to make $12 million. Okay, I guess it is possible, but it's so far out of the realm of possibility that, in my opinion, you'd quit before you even get started. Because, like you said, though, if you maybe a five-year plan, okay, then that's doable. But unless you have some kind of hidden talent or skill that I'm not aware of, no one goes from $50,000 a year to $12 million. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be in the realm of possibility. Like, you might go from 50 to 125. Okay, that would be a massive leap, mm-hmm. but it's possible. I would even say, if you're making 50,000, I would say kind of the rare exception. If you go from 50,000 to making $200,000 in a year, that's a massive leap. Massive. Mm-hmm. So, but it is possible. Yeah, it's got to be, like, no one can say a year from now they want to live on Pluto. It's not possible. You mm-hmm. can't live on Pluto. Yeah, it's got to be in the realm of possibility.
Okay. What is your favorite part about what you do?
My favorite part is whenever someone gets an insight, and an insight is nothing more than a sight from within. Mm-hmm. Once they get an insight and the light bulbs come on, that's when the magic happens. Because until they see it's not possible, it's okay for you or for you or for your mom or your dad or whoever, but it's not possible for me until it is. And the next closest part to that is another way of thinking about blind spots is how you show up automatic and predictable in your life. And once you become aware of how you show up automatic and predictable, you can choose not to show up automatic and predictable anymore.
Okay.
So those two, I would say, are the best. And it goes with my all-time favorite quotation from Zig Ziglar. He said, "You can have everything in life you want if you will simply help enough other people get what they want." Or said personalized, "I can have everything in life I want if I will help enough other people get what they want."
Yeah.
So that's my favorite. They're so close, I can't separate them, but those are my two favorite things of what I do.
Do you have easy wins? Like, you're trying to get somebody to listen to you, and so you do this one thing and it helps, or?
Sometimes. It's what I do is, have you ever seen John Wick? Mm-mm. Okay. Have you ever seen
a
movie?
I'm so sorry, I'm ruining your movies.
No, it's no big deal. Have you ever seen a movie where somebody gets a custom-made suit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where they go and they measure the chest, the arms, the pants. Okay. And they say, how many buttons do you want? Do you want double-breasted? Okay. My program is custom. The word for that is bespoke. Mm-hmm. That's the word, a bespoke suit. That's what my program is. It's bespoke to the person I'm speaking to. The person in front of me, they lay out the game plan. Because I can't tell what they're struggling with unless they tell me, because I'm not a mind reader. So it's sometimes, let me give you an example. one of my current clients, along with some other things, one of the main things she does is she builds custom Lego houses for people. Oh, and when I say it's custom, the house that she builds looks like the house that you live in. And it can open like a Barbie dream house, and the inside of the Lego house looks like the inside of your house. So she came to me with a problem on one of our sessions a couple weeks ago, and she thought it was going to take 6.5 hours. Well, after I asked some questions, we came to a solution in about 10 minutes. And I said, awesome. What do you want to talk about now? Because she just couldn't see it. She couldn't see that what she was efforting to do maybe not have needed to be done in the first place. And once I was able to ask her some questions and get her talking, I said, are you open to a suggestion? And I replayed back what she told me in my words, like it was my scenario. And I said, what would you tell me? And she said, I would tell you not mess with it. I said, awesome, don't mess with it. And then the light bulbs came on. Sometimes there's an easy button, but sometimes there's not. I've had a client, her spouse died. Not on the call, but between calls, her spouse died. We needed to put the pause button on it. Her spouse died. Like her husband passed away. So it's all bespoke. It's all custom. There's no cookie cutter. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. That's not the way I do things.
So can you tell me anything about your process, or is that copyrighted or whatever?
What do you mean process? Like what?
How do you help people see?
Oh, I got to have conversations with them. Someone told me one time, you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life. And I've also heard and read and believe that nothing significant in your life ever happens outside of a conversation.
That's kind of been a theme throughout my whole podcast journey. Like, most people who come on are like, conversation is the most important thing. I totally believe that too. So I'm not saying it's only them saying it, because a lot of the times I'm saying it too. But why do you think conversation and communicating is so important?
Because if I don't get the person I'm speaking to comfortable enough to let their guard down, then they're not open to the new possibilities that might or might not exist that they don't know about. But if they walk around with their shields up, like, to use a boxing term, let's say you're like this, okay? Well, if you keep your hands like this, it's going to be very difficult for me to get to your chin, because that's where your hands are. But the second you drop your right here where I can see your chin, you're starting to let your guard down a little bit. So seeing how I'm not a mind reader, I don't have the ability, and no one else does either, to know what's going on unless we talk. And I think language is super important, and sometimes it may just be a little shift in language, one word different that makes it a whole new meaning. You know, so it's very difficult to communicate to people if you don't speak to them. Now you can, I mean, there's sign language, but that's still communication too. And that's why I prefer working with people on Zoom, or at least I don't really like in person unless they're really, really close to me, but on Zoom, because then I can see them. And it may be something, whenever someone has an insight, it's not typically angels start singing, champagne falls from the heavens, and velvet ropes part the walkway. That's generally not the way it goes, or I have never personally experienced that. But what it might be is, say I make a statement or I ask you a question, and it might look like this. Huh. You just had an insight. Something was there that wasn't there 15 seconds ago. Because once you have the insight, you can act on it. Because now you see things differently. But that can't happen unless I'm having a conversation. Either text could work, but sometimes text, you can't read into tone or inflection. It just, that's what the words say. Unless it's obviously, well, not obviously, but a lot of people know that if you're screaming at someone via text and it's all caps and there's 19 exclamation points, yeah, you're getting screamed at via text, basically. But it's very difficult, borderline impossible, to have that connection if you're not in a conversation with them.
Yeah. Talking to a brick wall because nobody's right. Communicating back is like the hardest part of doing anything.
Well, I think it was Mark Twain. Don't quote me, but I think it was Mark Twain who said the main I'm paraphrasing, but this is exactly what he said. This is off the top of my head. He said the main problem with communication is thinking it actually happened. It's language is important. What we say creates our world through our language. And it, like I said, it's borderline impossible to have a connection with someone who you never talked to. And most communication is in a conversation. It's, in my opinion, it's vital.
Do you do live events or do you have a book that you've written?
Yes, I've done a couple live events before. I wrote a short book with Tom Ziegler called Road Trip, Zig Ziegler's son. And you can read the book in about 30 minutes, but the questions inside can really make a difference for you. The subtitle is From Survival to Legacy. A guidebook to balance success, significance, and creating a legacy that ripples through eternity. So I have that book. I do live, not workshops, but live events on Zoom every couple of weeks. I have a book club where we read personal self-development books and we hop on Zoom once a month and we talk about them, talk about the book we read. I've been on several handful podcasts as guest. I used to have my own podcast called Masterclass of One, where I coached people live on the spot. So it wasn't like an interview format. It was actually a coaching session. And yeah, and I've done, I think the most people I've spoken to is about 100 or so, give or take, 120, mm-hmm. give or take. So yeah, I've done all the things.
Is your book on Amazon?
It is not.
How can people get it then?
The best way is on my website, davidcreel.com has it. But if your listeners want to be gifted the digital copy, I can send you, or the audio, it's probably easier to do the audio book. Actually, I'll tell you what, if your listeners want it, I'll send it to you. If you don't have it already, I'll send it to you when we get done. I'll send you the link for the digital copy, and I'll also give you the link for the audio book as well. And then when the episode comes out, they can just go to the show notes or wherever you put it, and they can just get it. There's no, I'll just gift it to whoever wants it.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll definitely read it. Who read it? For the audiobook, was that you, or did you have somebody else do the reading?
No, I set my microphone up right here and hit record and did it. Whenever you have a goal, what's helped me is take the smallest possible step. Because we tend to get overwhelmed sometimes when we try to take on too much, which leads to efficiency, inaction, stagnation, stuff like this. Today is the 31st day of the month or yeah, of the year and of the month. I started a new morning routine on January 1st of 2023. And so far from January 1st of 2023 to today, because I've already done it today, is 762 days. And wow. I'm 762 for 762.
Nice.
I have not missed a day. And that was my part of my routine is I do some push-ups in the morning and I like hold a plank. And 2 months ago I tore a tendon in my foot. So I was doing it when I had a boot on. I was doing it. I didn't miss. But I'm not saying that to impress you and depress your listeners. I'm saying to impress upon you that if I can do it, you can do it. I put my pants on just like you do. And what I've learned is I don't commit to going 762 for 762 because can you do a morning routine on Sunday?
Maybe. It might look different.
How can you do a morning routine on Sunday if it's Saturday?
Okay, you can't do that. Sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
Right. Yeah, it's impossible. So I only commit to doing my morning routine tomorrow. I'm only committed to doing it one time. Because if you'd have told me on December 31st of 2022, you're going to go 762? Mm-hmm. 762 for 762, I told you you're nuts. But I can commit to doing it once 762 times in a row instead of I'm going to do it 762 times. So whatever you're going after, take the smallest possible step that you can take today with what you have and where you are. And if you're going after something or you're trying to create something in the world, B plus work is good enough to get started. We don't have to wait till it's an A plus because it's never going to be an A plus ever. But if you think about a B plus, let's say a B plus is an 87 or an 88 or an 89. Okay. So that's a maximum of 3 points away from an A. Maximum, but it's 18 points away from a failing grade because you have to go through B minus, C plus, C minus, and then you have a D. Well, D's failing. So it's a whole lot closer to an A than it is a D. Get it to B plus and go and tweak it later. That's my advice, my encouragement.
So that actually ties in with what I'm going to talk about today for mental health. And that is to take action.
Oh, okay, how about that?
Yeah,
it's like we talked about it beforehand, which we didn't.
I was not. I was looking at things 5 minutes ago, and I was like, "He's doing business."
Hey, everyone! Thanks for sticking with us. Before we dive into our next topic, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you to like this video, subscribe to our channel, and hit that notification bell. That way, you'll always be the first to know when a new episode drops. And we want to hear from you. What topics are you most excited about? Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Your feedback helps us create content that you love. We've got some exciting stuff coming your way, so don't miss out. Now, let's switch gears and jump into our next discussion.
And so this is what I came up with, and now we've dovetailed it, and it's awesome. But so a lot of the times, especially lately in the world we live in at the moment, people will say, oh, I have a mental health problem, or I have a mental illness, and so I can't do X, Y, or Z. I have this thing wrong with me, so I can't do that thing. Now, physically, there are some things I literally can't do because pain involved is not something I'm torturing myself with at any given time.
Yeah.
Just a fact. But I'm also not one of those people who believes that if you have a mental illness, I'm going to pat you on your head and tell you to go sit down because you don't have to do any work. While normal people will have their life and they don't have to work too much on the past because they don't have the same demons following them, then that's fine for them. But if you have a mental illness and you have those demons on your back that are telling you you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you know, nothing, there's nothing you can do to ever be better, there are ways that you can be better. I'm not saying that if you're bipolar, you can cure it. I've actually had a therapist tell me that stupid junk, and you cannot. Bipolar is an imbalance of the chemicals in your brain, and you can't just cure that, to my knowledge. If that's changed, don't quote me on it. But at the same time, if you have bipolar and you know you have it, first of all, you should be on your meds to make sure you don't do the swinging from the chandelier thing. But that doesn't mean you don't do anything. That means now you have to get to work. Yes, I have bipolar, but now it's time for me to learn how to deal with all of the triggers that come with it, with all of the overstimulation or the depression where all you want to do is lay in bed. Like, you have to act. You have to do something so that you can come out of that. I didn't come out of my depression, the deep, deep fog of depression I was in, until I was able to start doing with someone who is as calm and as can be. Like, I've never met anybody as calm as Kim. She's my emotional support animal. But, like, being able to help her help other people brought me out of that fog. It brought me to a place that I was like, you know what? I don't want to just sit around all day and wait for you to come here. I need to have something to do. So I started doing more with the person who had been asking me to do stuff for him the whole time I was in the brain fog. Trying to keep me alive, no doubt. And so I started working for him, and I still started helping with Kim. Like, I was doing a heck of a lot of stuff for somebody who's 2 months before couldn't have done it. Couldn't have talked to anybody, couldn't have done anything. But I had to act on that. I had to ask him to borrow her computer because mine had died before I moved back to Maryland. Which sucked. I had a really nice computer. And then slowly but surely doing the work, I realized, you know what? I think my brain's back in action. Which was super good, because when my depression was at its worst, if somebody handed me something and said, can you put these in order? It would have completely melted my brain and I wouldn't have been able to get it to you for 2 to 3 weeks. But once I started stepping up, once I started helping, at first it was helping people in my church do different things. And then it got to the point where I was like, I'm bored. I want something to do, which hadn't been something I had thought in the years before that. Years before that. And so coming out of that fog and being able to help, and like slowly but surely building myself back up into somebody who could think for themselves. That didn't happen overnight. I didn't just go from being completely brain dead because of my world shattering around me to completely okay with everything. I'm still not completely okay with everything. There are some levels I will have a bad day if I just think about the wrong thing. Because I'm not cured. Because there's no cure. But by working on things, by stepping up and saying, I'm not going to stay where I'm at, I have moved mountains. I used to think that in the Bible it says you can move mountains with your faith. I always took that literally. And I was like, yeah, I don't know of anybody who's out here just moving mountains around the world. People would get upset. Like, how does that work? But because of going through what I have, I realized that's probably, I moved mountains. Because of my faith and my determination, I moved them. Were they physical mountains? No, because we're still on Earth and that's not a thing that's possible. But I moved mountains of trauma. I moved mountains of depression. I moved mountains of lots of different things.
You didn't move physical mountains. You moved your mountains.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
But you can't do that if you're patting yourself on the back because you got anxiety walking into Walmart. And now you're never going to walk into Walmart again. There are way better reasons to not want to go into Walmart ever again than you got anxiety.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other places you could shop. But Walmart is Walmart. The big thing, though, is, like I said, in this society, people are like, I have depression or I have anxiety about math. So now I can't take a math class. You're still going to have to take a math class. Like, you can't. In order to get out of high school, you have to take math. Believe me, I know. I didn't want to. I hate math with a passion. Whoever decided putting the alphabet in my math was a good idea is the biggest idiot on the planet. I don't like them.
Fair enough.
But at the same time, I had to do it. I still went to my classes. I still did the work. And I think the biggest disservice that people with mental health problems do, or people who own their own business or who are in whatever they're doing, right? Across the board, no matter what you're doing, the biggest disservice you do yourself is when you give up. When you throw your hands in the air and just say, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to do it. There are ways to learn. There are people to ask. There are ways to keep going. But when you give up, you've put a great big thick wall in your way. And now every time you get to that spot in your life, you're going to smack into that wall. And it's not doing you any favors by being there.
Yeah, one of the books I read a couple months ago, and I liked it so much I made a little sign for my desk. There's kind of three ways to look at any and all circumstances in your life, okay? So the first one, exactly what you're talking about, is this. Poor me. I'm a victim. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm whatever, okay? The next way is this way. That bad person. Or that bad thing. If that wouldn't happen, then I wouldn't be like the way I am. Or if they didn't treat me bad, I wouldn't. Okay, all that other thing. Okay. But there's another way that is better, in my opinion.
What should I do from now on?
Now, if you notice, whenever you see this part, it can't be you're having a pity party. It can't be someone else's fault. Whatever's happened has happened. Do we wish it would happen? Do I want it to happen? No, of course not. But it did. What should I do from now on? How should I respond and not react to whatever has happened? Respond is positive. React is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Think like you were talking about somebody on their meds. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, you have XYZ, take this medicine, come back and see me in a week and we'll see if it's working. If your body responds to the medicine, it's accepting the medicine.
Yeah.
But if your body reacts to the medicine because you're allergic to it or whatever, then you have to go back to the doctor and get a different medication because that one ain't going to work. So, in any given circumstance, you can choose to respond and not react. And another thing, this is one of the words I listen for, is that word have to. Well, the fact of the matter is you don't have to do anything. You don't have to shower. You don't have to comb your hair. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to pay your taxes. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to pay your bills. You don't have to do anything. Not that there's not consequences if you don't, but you don't have to do anything. This is a crude example, but it's the best I have. If somebody walks up and puts a gun to your head, you don't have to do what they say. You can choose the bullet if you want. But how would it change things for us instead of I have to I get to, or I choose to, or I want to go do whatever it is that you're about to go do, because then it makes it where you're making a conscious choice because you're not a robot. You know, we have free will and we can do whatever we want to do. You know, again, not that there's not consequences if you do something that breaks the law, or you know, if you don't pay your house payment for 2 or 3 or 4 months, they're going to come take your house because you haven't paid.
So, this is even worse. So
what's that?
I said the taxes one is even worse because they'll come after you for that too.
Well, they will, but you still don't have to pay your taxes. Now you might end up in jail, but then you don't pay taxes in either. So you don't have to do anything in life. But if you wake up and you get to go to work instead of have to go to work, or you choose to go to work, or you want to go to work instead of I have to go to work, because the fact is you don't have to go to work. You can just not show up and they'll fire you. But you don't have to go to work. So that's like the have to versus the get to.
I've always used have to in my brain because it's like a way. My brain decides some days that it's just not going to do a thing. And I'll say, no, we have to do that. And to get myself going. Probably not the best way to do it, but it tends to work in my brain. Perfect. Just because if I have to do something, then my brain's like, okay, let's be here and do it. Or if it's, we could do it type of thing, or if, then it would rebel.
Sometimes that happens too.
Okay. I think that's a good place to end. Do you have any comments or any last minute things you wanted to say?
No, I think this was, I think you nailed it on the head with what you're talking about. Do I have to? And the fact of the matter is bad stuff happens. We don't want it to happen, but life is difficult. And that's the way it's going to be. If you 3 steps forward and 2 steps back is still forward progress. I can get anywhere I want 1 step at a time.
Yeah.
If I wanted to walk from my house to your house, it would take me a long time.
Probably.
You know, don't have dinner ready. Give me about probably 3 or 4 weeks, probably ish. But I could still make it 1 step at a time. And I just can't stress it enough. Whenever you get overwhelmed or whatever, you're probably trying to take on too much. Like I had this one guy, he said several months ago, I said, what's the smallest possible step you can take? He goes, I'm going to sit down and read 3 chapters of a book. I said, that's the smallest possible step? And he goes, how could it be smaller than that? I said, how about walk to wherever the book is and sit down and open the book and grab your pen or whatever you highlighter or whatever you use to use if you're going to mark in the book. And then why don't you start with the first letter of the first word? He goes, oh. I said, yeah. Because when you try to take on too much, you get overwhelmed. So break it down into the smallest possible step and then rinse, wash, repeat. Take that step. Because when you get there, then you can see what you need to do next. Then take that next step. Okay. And then go from there. And whatever you're going through, mental, spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever, has not come to stay. It has come to pass. And failure is what Zig Ziglar said was, failure is an event. It is not a person. Like have you ever failed a test before?
Massively.
Okay. Doesn't mean you're stupid or you're an idiot. That just means on this particular test, I didn't pass. Maybe you were, I've had before where I was in school, I was asleep. And the teacher said, pop quiz. Oh, I'm going to guess I was asleep. That doesn't mean I'm stupid or I'm incompetent, or it just means I failed the test. So if you can think of failure is an event, it's not a person, you might not take it personally. So keep putting one foot in front of the other, take a small step, and you can get everywhere, anywhere you want to go, taking one step at a time.
There is a movie, one of those movies for Christmas with the Frost guy, and he's taking steps. It's stupid, I know. But if you take one step, one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. I don't remember the name of the movie, but it had Mr. Winter.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of done in the same thing as, like, for the Christmas movie with, like, the stop animation and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's not coming to me at the moment. But, yeah, like, I've heard it said, let's say somebody wants to, they have a physical goal. And they want to go to the gym or whatever, okay? I've heard it said this way. The heaviest weight you'll ever lift is the door to the gym.
I actually just shared a post on Facebook that had a very similar message. But it was mental health-wise. And it was like the hardest door to open is the prison you put yourself in to feel safe.
Preach.
And yeah. I shared that because it was like, as soon as I read that, my mind went.
Right. You had an insight moment. And especially like what you're talking about, I think the best quotation from what you just said from Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And when Alfred Adler said, hope is the foundational quality of all change. Because even if there's 0.01% of a chance, it's possible. If somebody says, I need you to jump 40 foot in the air with no apparatus and no trampoline, why would I even attempt it? I've never been able to dunk a 10-foot goal, much less 40. But if it's like, hey, I need you to dunk this 7-foot goal, okay, I can probably get up there. If you have hope in the future, hope in yourself, hope in tomorrow's going to be a little bit better than it was today. A lot of people think 1% of a difference doesn't make that big of a difference.
It does if you're coming from a place of not being able to move.
And it also does, given enough time. For example, say you're in Los Angeles and you're going to fly to New York. Well, if that plane is 1% off the entire flight, you're not landing in New York. You're landing in Virginia or wherever, okay? But what if you're flying from LA to Scotland? Well, you're going to be closer to France. Given enough time and distance, 1% is a chasm. But that's that, how can I get 1% better than I was an hour ago or 20 minutes ago or 1 minute ago or 3 years ago? Then you look back and you're like, oh, now, like you said earlier, you were a train wreck, basically. But like you said, if you'd have done one more thing, you said your brain would have exploded. But if you are to where you are right now, looking back at that time, look how far you've come. Whatever length of time that was, okay? But you didn't go from where you were to now with a snap of a finger. It was a process. 1% here, 1% here, 1% here, 0.2% here, 0.3. Okay. But now think about it. Where you are today, think of where you'll be a month from now, or 2 months from now, or 6 months from now, or you won't even recognize yourself. You'll be a completely different person. 1% better.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you can obviously, just for round numbers, you can't get any smaller than 1% better. 0.01, I get all that. We're not talking about decimals, but whole numbers. If you're at zero, well, 1% is known as improvement.
Yep.
And then one becomes two, and two becomes three, and three becomes four, and four becomes five, and then five becomes 15, and 15 becomes 27. 1% at a time. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you sticking to that story and making the difference that you're making.
I appreciate it. I'm hoping that whoever hears this, one of my things I say is I make positive contributions to people's lives with the resources that I'm going to send Nikki when this comes out. She'll have it on the show notes, wherever she puts it. Take the book. But more importantly, the book, have you ever heard the phrase knowledge is power?
Yes.
You think that's accurate?
Yes. Not the end all be all, but it's still accurate.
What if it's potential power?
Well, that would mean they didn't read the book.
No, that means you didn't apply.
Or that, yeah.
You have to apply what you read. I've heard it said, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. It's only true power when you apply what you learn.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
Right, okay, so... I would encourage, whenever you're listening to this, get the book. Answer the questions in the book. And I'm also, like I said, I'm also going to give you the audiobook as well. And look, the audiobook, I read the whole thing in 30 minutes. It's not that long of a book. But the questions inside really have the potential to change your whole life if you apply and act on what you discover about yourself from the questions. I hope that whenever you get the book, I hope it alters your whole life. And you can look back and say, I heard this guy from Texas on Nikki's podcast, and I acted on what he asked me to do, and it's a 180 ever since. And that would make it very much worth the time investment today. Even if only one person gets it, that's enough for me. So this has been super fun.